You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 78.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, guys? Alex Pardo. It's fantastic to be on here with you. And I got a two-part series coming at you with my friend John Martinez, who's somebody who I connected with several months ago and I actually hired as a sales coach. And my team and I have been going through his REI Sales Academy, which is some high-level intensive sales training specifically for real estate investors. And guys, if you don't know who John Martinez is, he's the founder of Midwest Revenue Group, which is really the only real estate investing specific acquisitions and sales training that I'm aware of anyway. Guys trained over 350 investors, real estate salespeople, acquisitions agents, dispositions agents to buy properties all over the country at deep discounts and sell properties to pick up the biggest margins and add to your bottom line. So this is part one of that sales training. We're going to dive right into the meat and potatoes. And I know you're going to get a lot out of this show. So comment after, let me know in the show notes page what you think, and let's get right into it. Hey, what's going on, my friends? This is Alex Pardo, and I'm really, really excited to bring you another masterclass here with my personal sales coach, Mr. John Martinez. Before I have John come on here, I want to kind of, you know, set the groundwork for what you're about to learn on not only this particular podcast episode, but John and I have actually decided to do a two-part series specifically on sales training, but for our industry. So this is REI sales training. Now, when I got started in this business, if you guys have been listening to the podcast for any length of time now, you guys know I got started in 2005, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that up until about 5-6 months ago, I had actually never received sales training specifically for my business, which is real estate investing for wholesaling. You know, I've read a ton of books on sales. I've gone to some seminars and but I've actually never actually received specific sales training for our business. And, you know, we all have kind of seen those movies like Glengarry Glen Ross and The Boiler Room and like those hardline tactics of selling, right? Like the ABC, always be closing. And so when I think of sales, I would always, you know, prior to this training, I was always thinking about, you know, the snake oil salesman, you know, the car salesman that's always just trying to use these like tactics to get you to buy something. In my mind, that's kind of what I pictured when I thought of a salesman. And I started hearing a lot about John Martinez. You know, he's somebody who he's been in the sales industry for, I believe, 18, 20 years, different kinds of industries. And he's done sales, sold millions and millions of dollars. And somehow, and I'll kind of let him tell his story a little bit, but somehow he connected with some of the larger players in our industry, you know, guys that have flipped thousands and thousands of properties. And he started working with them in their business, providing sales training for wholesaling and for turnkey operations and specifically real estate investing. And then I guess one thing led to another, and now he's worked with some of the top real estate investors in the country. And we have some mutual friends. And so I got in contact with John about 5-6 months ago. And after like a 5-10 minute conversation, I realized that, you know, it's not the type of sales that I thought it was. It's really not even selling. And, you know, I'm so happy to say that over the course of the last 8-9 weeks, my entire team has gone through his sales training, and we've seen some massive results as a result of going through this training. And we're not even done. So there's so many things that we have changed in our business. And at first, I was actually reluctant to, because I kind of saw him as my secret weapon, right? And after a while of thinking about it, I'm like, man, that's BS. Like, you know, let me reach out to John and see if he's willing to come on the podcast and, you know, share a lot of what, you know, my team and I have learned on his sales training. So this is going to be a very unique episode. We always have experts come on and share a lot of, you know, what's working in their business. And I think this is going to be especially beneficial for you because, you know, we all spend a lot of money on marketing. Or if you're getting into this business, you know, hopefully you know that, yeah, we're in the real estate business, but we're really in the marketing business. And what good is it to spend thousands and thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars to get the phone to ring, but then not really understand how to connect with that seller, how to build rapport, how to figure out what their pain points are. And so on this particular episode, that's exactly what John is going to teach you, and what he's going to share is how to effectively speak to sellers, you know, efficiently process more leads, and as a result, lock up more deals. So having said that, John, man, I don't want to steal too much of your thunder, man, but I'm really excited to have you on, brother.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure. And man, I'm looking forward to this. I've been pumped up about it all week long.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. So yeah, man, I guess before we get into the meat of, you know, the podcast interview here, if you can maybe for the people that might not know who you are, and I know I talked, you know, I gave you an intro here before we jumped on, but if you could kind of, you know, let people know how you got started into sales, maybe just a quick minute or two, and then how, you know, ultimately, how you started working with real estate investors.
Yeah. So I started in sales, being an absolute terrible salesperson. I'm not a natural sales guy. I didn't know what I was doing. My only strength was work ethic. So I'd hustle. And I started off in all commission sales about close to 20 years ago now, selling insurance. And over time, I ended up building an insurance agency and just kind of moving through the ranks. And very early on, it became apparent that there's only so many hours a day you can work. And if I wanted to get better results, I needed to start learning more about my craft, selling, and putting processes in place. So from very early on, about 16 months into my sales career, I started to become obsessed with sales process because even though I had some success, I was limited by the number of hours in a day I could work. And as I grew sales teams, I knew I couldn't teach them to work as hard as I could. I'd have to give them some tricks. So over the course of the last 20 years, it's been constant study. I've been through every sales program out there again and again, from Spin to Action Selling, Sandler, Miller Hyman, and on and on and on. And that branched out into behavioral economics and psychology and economics, biology, neuroeconomics, and just I've been on this journey for almost two decades now, really just figuring out how people make decisions. So how do they decide whether or not they want to buy something in particular?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it all got started. I became obsessed with it very early on, and that's what I've devoted my life to. A couple years ago, I was working with a call center that sells leads to investors. And they brought me in because sales had kind of, they were just stagnant, right? They weren't bad, but they weren't going up for the last couple of years. And okay. I did some quick script rewrites. And they called an investor. And one of the investors they called said, you know, you guys have been calling me every week for years and something changed. I like it. What the heck's going on? And he bought the leads and he found out who I was. You know, they're like, we're working with some sales guy and we connected. And wow. He asked me to fly down to Houston and work with his team, and I did. So he was actually a member of a mastermind group full of investors called the Collective Genius Mastermind.
Yep, I know it.
And after I started working with him, I started working with two or three others. 2 years later, I think I've worked with probably somewhere between 50 and 70 groups out of the Collective Genius.
Wow, that's
and
awesome.
It's expanded way outside of that. So I've spent the last 2 years where I've worked in about 50 industries. But the last 2 years, we've been laser focused on real estate and really working with the best of the best, redefining sales processes, scripts, all that kinds of stuff. So
yeah,
heavy in real estate now and absolutely fell in love with it. I invest myself now in three different cities as a result of it.
That's so awesome. And guys, one thing I forgot to mention, you know, you heard John allude to the fact that, you know, he customized scripts specifically for real estate investors. And this is something that over the course of the last few years, you know, he's tweaked and perfected to the point now we completely changed our script inside of Podio. And the way that I personally trained my lead manager and my acquisitions manager, I had to basically retrain them because that's how good John's script is and his training. So one of the things that we're going to do you know, for you here today as one of the listeners is at the end of the podcast, I'm going to tell you exactly where you can go and download the same exact script that John customized and has tweaked over the years and the script that we're now using in our business. And again, you know, the number of appointments alone that we've gone on over the course of the last 3-4 months has almost tripled as a result of this script and how we're implementing the training that John's given us. So I forgot to mention that, and I'm so glad, John, that you know, talked about scripts, because that's one of the things that I know you agreed to give everybody listening here on the podcast. So really appreciate it. And guys, before I kick it back over to John, you know, I don't need to sell you on the importance of sales in general, right? Because you know, sales is something that applies not only to business, but in our personal lives. It could be relationships. A sale is always occurring. So this is one of those areas that you always want to have, you always want to pour your energy and your time and attention into it, because it can mean the difference between success and failure, I think, in a lot of aspects in our life. Again, not only in our business. So what John and I really want to hone in on today, because there's so much that, you know, we've gone through over the course of the last 8-9 weeks, is specifically when you guys get the phone to ring from your marketing and it's a seller on the other end of that call, how do you speak to them, right? And so one of the things that I'd like to do with John, if you're okay with that, is maybe at some point here we can actually do some role playing, you know, so that your people listening in can kind of hear, okay, how do you process a lead? How do you speak to a seller, identify motivation, build rapport, all the elements of a good sales call? What do you think?
Yeah, man, I'm game. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Awesome, man. So is there anything like I guess before we get into that, any common pitfalls that you see a lot of investors and wholesalers make when it comes to, you know, sales calls and when they speak to sellers?
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest thing is setting expectations. So we've got to realize that when the seller's calling in on the phone, we might have handled hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of these types of calls, but this is their first one. And oftentimes they've never even heard that there's companies or businesses like this that exist. They're usually in a bad situation. There's so much going on where we can be super confident, and to us, this is a normal everyday call, but we got to realize that they might be a little scared. They might be a little anxious. There's a lot of things from the very beginning going into the call that can prevent you from having the right conversation, asking questions and getting the answers from those questions. If we don't address some of those anxieties, fears, that uneasiness that a lot of the callers are coming into this phone call with.
Yeah.
So one of the most common pitfalls I see is just not addressing that up front and setting up the call for success.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, man, I mean, maybe this is kind of the, you know, the perfect segue to maybe get into a little bit of a role play. And then after, if you think this is a good idea, maybe what we can do is kind of dissect it, you know, like why you ask certain questions. And then what I'll do is I'll try to play the role of just a typical seller that's calling because I received something in the mail and yeah, I'd like to sell, but I'm curious how the process works. I'm not really sure. And so, you know, there's various types of homeowners that call, and there's so many different ways that the conversation can go. But just in general, I think that way people can kind of get a flavor for how you communicate with the seller and how you go through the script.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, and I'm totally up for it.
Okay, perfect. So what I'll do is I'm going to call you here in like a second. Just I'm going to pretend I'm calling you and you pick up. And then, you know, we haven't rehearsed this or anything. We're just going to kind of play it by ear and I'll just be that curious seller who has a property, you know, that I want to sell.
Man, that sounds great. So ring on in whenever you're ready.
Okay, awesome. Ring.
Hi, this is John with We Buy Houses. What can I do for you?
Hey, John, how are you? I received a postcard in the mail about a property. I don't have my house on the market. So I was just kind of curious, how you came across my contact information and what this is all about.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, same questions most people who call us have. They usually want to know kind of what we do, how we do it, how much we actually pay for houses, those kinds of things. It sounds like you've got those same types of questions. Besides that, was there really anything else you wanted to find out on this call?
Yeah, I mean, in the postcard, you know, you said that you could provide a cash offer. I do have, you know, my parents, you know, unfortunately, they're not doing too well, you know, with their health. And so right now they're living in a property, but I think they're going to come move in with me. The house is probably going to be vacant here in a bit. So just kind of curious, we're in the exploratory phases of figuring out. My sister and I are not sure if we want to keep the house or maybe if we just want to go ahead and sell it. So curious what you can offer for the property.
Yeah, so I'm sorry to hear about your situation. You know, unfortunately, it's probably more common than you might think. We get a lot of these types of calls. Let me ask you this. Do you have about 5, maybe 10 minutes so I can ask you some questions about the situation and the condition of that property?
Okay, yeah, that'll work.
Cool. Listen, at the end of that, you can just tell me whether or not it makes sense to take any kind of next step or not. I'll let you know what the options are, and then you just let me know what you want to do. Is that fair?
Got it. That's fair.
Cool. So is it okay if I start by getting your full name and the address of the property, please?
Yeah, my name is Alex Pardo, and the address is 123 Main Street, and that's in Miami.
Cool. And can you tell me a little bit about the property, just like the general condition, any major repairs it might need, the layout, those types of things?
You know, honestly, I haven't, John, been in the house in a while, but I mean, the house has been in our family ever since I was a kid. I grew up there, but, you know, my parents have been living there. And again, they're not doing too well. But from what I recall, you know, the house probably just needs general updating. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, remodeled or anything. So I think it's livable, but I'm not really sure because I haven't been there in a while.
That makes sense. Let me ask you this, just some general questions. And if you don't know the answers, that's okay. Do you know roughly when the house was built? Are we talking the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s?
Yeah, I think this particular house was built in the 50s.
Awesome. And just a basic layout. Do you know how many bedrooms, bathrooms the house has?
Yeah, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house.
Cool. I mean, is it a big house, you know, 3,000 square feet or a little smaller?
No. This is probably maybe 1,000, 1,100 square feet. It's a pretty small house.
Cool. Okay. And, you know, just are there any major repairs that you do know of at this point? Roof, windows that need to be replaced, HVAC systems, heating, air conditioning, anything like that?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. Cool. Do you know if it's ever been updated? You said it probably needs a little bit of a facelift. Do you know if it's specifically the kitchens, the bathrooms, have those ever been redone to your knowledge?
No, I think everything's pretty original.
Okay. You know, you said you grew up there. Any special features? Big yard? Is it by a park? Pool? Anything cool like that about the house?
It's by a park. I mean, it's in a good area. You know, it's you know, I think regular middle class. You know, it's a pretty quiet neighborhood.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with me about the property?
You know, about the property, no. We're just kind of curious. Okay. You know, I know the postcard you sent said that you could, you know, pay cash for the property. So I'm really curious what you can offer for it.
You know, absolutely. And you know, just from the basic description of the property and the area it's in, you know, that's the type of property we look for. It sounds like a really nice place. I know your parents are moving out, but... is there any other reason why you're considering selling it and not just holding on to it?
You know, we don't live that close to the property. My sister lives, you know, out of town. I certainly don't have the time to keep up with it. And if we can cash out, you know, if it makes sense, I'm obviously not going to give the property away or anything. But if we can just, you know, if it makes sense to sell, I'll do that. I mean, I jumped on Zillow and... you know, and I kind of have an idea of what I'd like to get for it, but I want to know, you know, once I know, I guess what you can offer, then I'll talk to my sister and my parents and see if it's something that makes sense.
Perfect. And I'll have an offer for you. Let me just ask you a couple more questions. I haven't had time to do my research on the property yet. When you hopped on Zillow, what did it look like the house was valued at, or what are the houses in the neighborhood going for nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm seeing, I know a lot of houses in the area are selling for about $150,000, $160,000.
Cool. And is that what you'd expect to get out of that one if you sold it?
I mean, obviously, we'd like to get as much as possible. So, yeah, I suppose so.
Okay. And you know, how negotiable are you going to be on the price if everything else falls into place? The timing is just easy, all the rest of that. Are you going to be negotiable on price at all?
You know, this is so new right now. I haven't even had an opportunity to really talk to my sister or my parents. I don't even know if that's the price that they would expect for the property. So, I mean, we want to get as much money as possible. You know, my parents are not going to be working. So this is kind of what they're going to use as their retirement. So, you know,
that makes perfect sense. I totally understand. So it sounds like the place is paid off.
Yeah. There's nothing owed on it. I think maybe this year's taxes, but you know.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you how this works and what we would do at this point, what our recommendation is, and then you just tell me what you'd want to do. So based on what you told me, this is definitely a house where we're interested in making an offer on. And if you want to move forward with us, what we would like to do is I've got a general idea of the condition of the home. I can do some research into the area and kind of get a ballpark figure what we can offer for it. But what we'd really need to do is have you give us a quick tour of the house so we can look at it a little closer as far as the condition goes and the money we might have to put into it. And that usually takes 20 to 30 minutes to do a walkthrough with you. And at the end of that, based on what we see, I can have an offer for you down to the penny. And at that point, if you love it, we'll be prepared with the paperwork to make an offer and sign the deal then, if you want to. If for some reason timing's not right or, for whatever reason, it's just not time to move forward, no big deal. We don't buy every house that we look at that point. We just say, hey, we put our best foot forward. Didn't work out, but thank you very much and move on. Okay. But I'll leave the ball in your court. Do you think that next step even makes sense?
I think so. I mean, I've received a bunch of these like letters and postcards. I don't know why everybody's so interested in this particular property, but I probably plan on calling a few more just to, see what's out there. But yeah, I mean, we could meet, and that way, once you see it, you know, you can let me know where you stand and I can, I guess, you know, depending on what that is, we can make a decision from there.
Yeah. Like I said, when we're done walking through and making our offer, if it makes sense, we can take action. And for some reason it's not the right time, then no sweat. So, you mentioned that there were one or two or three others that, siblings that are also going to probably have some questions and, be a part of this whole thing. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, actually, it's just my sister and I.
Just your sister and you. Okay, sounds good. Well, I'd love to schedule a time to talk to the both of you. We usually, when we do a walkthrough, want to talk to everybody involved, because what we find out the deeper we get into these conversations are some things that may be really important to you about selling the house might not be that important to your sister and vice versa. So as I put my deal together, I got a ton of ways to structure these things, and I want to make sure I hit everything you both are looking for or get as close as I can to it when you look at selling that house. Does that make sense?
It does. The only thing is my sister doesn't live in town. Is that going to be an issue?
If she can't make it, I get that. We all have those limitations. That won't be an issue, but would I be able to talk to her on the phone for 5-10 minutes, conversation just like we're having now, before I go out there?
Sure, that wouldn't be an issue.
Perfect. Well, let's go ahead and set this up. And hey, Alex, from here, we'd set up the appointment and we'd run with it.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So we'll kill the call there. Man, that was fantastic. So guys, you're listening in and now you kind of get an idea of why, John's training has been so valuable to us, and why we've completely just, shifted the way that we're processing leads. You notice how there wasn't anything salesy about it. I don't want to use a lot of jargon, that unless you go through the training, you wouldn't understand. But John, maybe if we can kind of pick apart the, segments of that call and why you responded to, so that way, anybody listening in can really start to grasp why this is so effective.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, it sounds like a real simple, easy conversation, but there's actually a lot built into that script, a lot of psychology and a lot of stuff behind it. So even just opening up the call, we mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, Alex, setting up the conversation for success. So remember that when a caller calls in, they're going to have a few questions on their mind. How long is this call going to take? What are we going to talk about? How does it end? Am I going to be pressured into something? If you think about it, any sales situation we go into, those are the questions we have, and we're kind of preoccupied with them. Until we get those answered, that's what we're going to be thinking about. We're going to be a little reluctant to share information. We just have our defenses up always against salespeople. So the first thing we want to do is say, hey, This is exactly what we're going to do on this call. This is exactly what's going to happen and how long it'll take. And at the end, if you decide you want to move forward, great. If not, that's okay too. So we answer what's going to happen, how long is it going to take, and at the end there'll be a decision to make. But by the way, no pressure. If the decision's no, let's not do anything. Totally cool. So that's how we set up the conversation at the very beginning for success. So if you remember, it sounded like this. Hey, awesome. Typically, people who call want to know what we do, how we do it, how much we can offer for the house. Did you have those same types of questions? Perfect. Besides that, anything else? Great. Do you have 5 or 10 minutes so I can ask you some questions kind of about your situation in the property? Cool. After that, just let me know whether or not it makes sense to take any kind of next step, okay?
Yep.
So that's the beginning of the call and how we really set it up for success.
Got it. And one thing to piggyback on top of that, you know, just not as a sidestep, I guess. Guys, when you think about scripts, you don't have to sound robotic. You know, when John was, you know, going through his script, at no point did I feel he was reading off of a script. It was just very natural. Now, obviously, he's been doing this for a long time, but, you know, whatever script you're using and the script that, you know, that you guys get at the end of the call, you know, the key is to just practice it so that it just sounds conversational in nature. You don't want to sound like a robot. You don't want to sound like lifeless on the other end of the line, like you're just kind of reading, because I think that breaks rapport. I mean, and I'm sure you'd probably agree with me, John.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are scared of scripts. And early on in my sales career, I was scared of scripts too, because I didn't sound natural no matter what. And the truth of the matter is, if you really look at scripts, I mean, if you guys think about, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite TV show? And you look at those types of things, those type of movies that, you know, we've all seen, like life-changing movies that make you look at everything different, or that make you laugh and cry. And the truth about it is, all those things were scripted, right? The most famous speeches in our country's history, speeches by MLK and Lincoln and Kennedy, all those things were scripted,
so
right?
True.
The same things that start and stop wars, that make us laugh and cry, guys, those are all scripted. So once you just come to terms with that scripts aren't bad, you start to realize that scripts aren't bad, just an unrehearsed script, a poorly written unrehearsed script, that's what'll make you sound like a robot. But when you get the right one and you rehearse it, those things can move mountains.
Got it. Yeah, no, perfect. Spot on. So I guess getting back to really, you know, dissecting it and doing a deep dive on the script. So the first part, John, was all about setting expectations, right? The next part, I think you started to now get into, you know, just asking me for some very basic information, you know, the property address. Then I think you started to get into, like, what's the condition? Like, it felt like you were having me open up so that I could start speaking about the condition of the property. And then you went from there.
Right. So we'll jump into that. So next we go into property condition. So there's a couple things going on here. Number one, the more the prospect talks, more rapport is built. So we want to start off some really safe questions, not questions about the money or anything like that. Just basic questions about the property. And instead of going through a checklist of 10 or 20 questions about every nook and cranny in that property, you're going to go see it anyways. You really just want to get a basic idea of the property's condition, and you really want to get them talking. So instead of starting with, have the doors been replaced? Have the doorknobs been replaced? What's the hardware like on the cabinets? Just start with something really vague and open to invite them to start talking. I think the example we used here is, hey, can you just tell me a little bit about the property, just the general condition, if it needs any major repairs, the layout of it, those kinds of things.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, one thing, and John, I don't know what your thoughts are. For me personally, like, I don't really care about, like, I just want some general information about the condition, like the roof, you know, has anything been, repaired? Like, I'm not asking, like you said, I'm not bringing up doorknobs. I'm not bringing up, you know, anything, because all that stuff is not going to really, you know, we're typically purchasing these properties well below market value, that I don't want to waste their time with insignificant questions that is not really going to move the needle in terms of what I can offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And when you do, I've heard a lot of these calls, when people go too deep into those details, you start to lose a lot of the rapport you have with the seller, especially if you didn't set those expectations up front with how long it was going to take and what you're going to do. As each question 2, 3, 4, 5 go on, you start to hear a lot of frustration in the seller's voice. And they even stop you and go, hey, how many questions do you have? How long is this going to take? You want to avoid all that. Just a general condition. And if you have some specifics about the roof or the foundation, sprinkle them in after they just give you a good basic rundown of the property.
Exactly. And then I think from there is when you started to kind of uncover motivation, right?
Right. So at this point, we've got a little bit of rapport going. We've hit some safe questions. So now the prospect or you were starting to open up. And instead of just asking flat out, hey, why are you selling it? I like to push back a little bit and say something positive about the house. Even if the house is in shambles, I'd go, hey, you know what? This is a house we're looking for. We love these types of properties. Why in the world are you selling it? We kind of are a little reluctant, like we don't understand. And that will get them to get into motivation super easy. This is really effective when they're trying to sell you the house and they're saying, man, it's in the great neighborhood. It's across from the school. Everybody wants this property. It's the nicest in the neighborhood. That's a great transition into motivation where you can say, listen, sounds like a beautiful freaking house. Or, hey, you've had that for a rental for 5 years. It's making you a ton of money. Why in the world are you even considering getting rid of it? And taking that approach will really help them open up and share their motivation. They'll say something like, it'll always start with, well, you know, the thing is, or the problem I'm having, or I'm just a little tired of, and you're getting right into motivation. And as we know, buying properties below market value, it all hinges on motivation.
That's right.
This is also what's going, getting them into this is also what's going to internally start to build some urgency. So they take that next step when you go ahead and give them the option to take the next step or not.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And like you said, John, I think it's worth elaborating or at least repeating. It's all of this is you want to uncover their why, like what's their pain, what's their situation. And honestly, you might not be the best fit for that. And one of the things I love about, you know, that we've learned in John's training is, you know, it's kind of the analogy. John, I forget what analogy you used on the training call. But, you know, it's like if you run after a dog, what's the dog going to do? Right. The dog's going to run away from you. But if you run towards the dog, did I say that right? So if you run towards the dog's going to run away from you. But if you run away from the dog's going to run to you. And it's kind of the same thing with the seller, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, people, when we push people push back. So oftentimes salespeople during these initial calls and at all stages in the sales process are pushing for your prospect to sell them the house. And naturally what happens is they push back, right? You say, sell me the house. They start to think of all the reasons why they should keep it or why it might not make sense. So through an entire sales cycle, you should always be a little reluctant from your side to take the next step. Mm-hmm. And you want to reverse that paradigm so they're really selling you.
That's right.
And that's how you do it, is you get into that motivation.
Yeah.
Motivation drives action. And you know, in our training, we get a little deep into the weeds with some of the science behind it. But the undisputable truth is the motivation, the emotional aspect of this is what really drives them to make a decision to change what they're doing or how they're doing it.
Yeah.
So getting into this motivation and being a little reluctant to buy, almost questioning their motivation, is super powerful.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man. And then I think, John, from there is when you started kind of getting into the equity situation and then the asking price, right?
Yeah, so we've got lots of ways to go around it. I usually like to ask, or you know, hey, I haven't done a lot of research yet. And I don't ask them about their specific house. People don't like specifics. So I'll ask them something like, you know, what are houses in the area going for? Or you mentioned Zillow, so I'll just ask, hey, you looked at Zillow, what did it price a house at? Or you know what are just houses in the areas going for? People are going to be a lot more open to telling me what other houses are selling for as opposed to what their house is selling for. And then it's just as simple as, hey, is that what your, you know, is that what your asking price is, or is that what you'd expect to get out of yours? Mm-hmm. You could go even deeper with, well, would you expect more or less, and why? And that'll give you a good idea for at least what they value the house at and what they're expecting for it. And from there, you can gauge, you know, how much, you know, how realistic are they, and how much time and resources do I want to throw at this opportunity at this point?
I got to tell you, man, I do a weekly training with my lead manager and my acquisitions guy. And that's one of the points of feedback that they've given me about the new script, is that before we used to ask directly, like you're talking about, like, you know, so what are you asking for the property? What are you asking for? And sometimes, oftentimes, we'd get pushback. You know, people would kind of get, I don't want to say they'd get defensive, but a little bit, right? And sometimes they'd be very reluctant to tell us. They're like, well, you know, and we could kind of sense their tone on the other end, like, oh, well, you send me a postcard, what are you offering? And then now that we've shifted it, and I think we asked something to the effect of, you know, I'm guessing you don't have any idea what you might be looking to get for the property. Now that we've kind of phrased it that way, I probably say 7-8 out of 10 times they're either giving us their asking price, or they're giving us a ballpark or something that lets us know pretty much what they're looking for.
Yeah, so that's another advanced sales technique where instead of, it's called a takeaway. Instead of asking the question, we state the opposite. So instead of saying, hey, what do you want for the house? We tell the prospect, I bet you have no idea what you even want to get out of this place.
Yeah.
And just, it's the same concept we mentioned before. It's a psychological concept called psychological reactance. When we push, people push back. So when we push and say, you don't have any idea what you want for the place, they say, no, of course I do, this much. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, that's another way to go about asking price, and it's a beautiful way to do it.
Got it. Well, John, obviously, man, we're trying to pack so much content and information into a 30-40 minute podcast episode here, which I know is impossible, but just to kind of wrap it up, and then we can let people know where they can go ahead and download the script for free and a few other things if they're interested in learning more and really getting deeper and kind of taking this to another level. I think where you kind of started to, you know, transition towards the end of the call is, I think on your end, you identified that, okay, hey, I want to meet with this seller. I want to see this property. And then I like how you started to kind of set the expectation of what's to come when you meet with them at the house. Is that pretty much the end of the call? If you identify that, hey, this is a deal I think I want to lock up here?
Yeah. So, you know, the whole point of these calls are to move your sales process to the next step. So if you feel like they're there, if you feel like there's enough motivation and it makes sense, then what we want to do is make the offer, right? But as we make the offer, there's a couple things that will prevent them from taking the next step. One is if there's not enough motivation. That's where we dive into it a little bit. We get into the emotional piece a little bit. But the other thing is if they don't know what to expect during that appointment, they're going to be very reluctant to take it. I mean, think about it. How often would you take an appointment if you had no idea what was going to happen, how long it was going to be, if you'd get a high pressured into something? You probably wouldn't take very many appointments like that. So it's just, hey, just like I said at the beginning of the call, I'll lay out your option. Here's what I'd love to do. Come out there. Take about this long. Here's what we do. And if it makes sense to take a next step from there, cool. If not, no sweat. So we set up the appointment for success too, and relieve any anxieties and fears people might have about setting that up with us. So we get the motivation, then we take away any fear of next step, and then we simply ask, what would you like to do?
Got it. And let me kind of throw in a bonus question for you here, John, if you don't mind, man. Know that, like, I've worked with a lot of real estate investors that their model, so there's a couple different models, right? One is, hey, let's get in front of the seller to lock up the appointment belly to belly. And that's like what my team does. Yep. And then I know a lot of investors that are very successful, and or maybe even virtual investors, that they do everything over the phone, which is fantastic. Do you kind of tweak the way that you approach the call? If you're, obviously you have to tweak it, but what's the best way to do it? If your goal, or if somebody listening in, their model is to do deals over the phone, right? They don't necessarily go meet with the sellers. How do you make that shift where, okay, you've identified, let's assume that the numbers work and you want to move forward and you want to give this person an offer. How do you frame that conversation towards the end to send them an offer and move forward from there?
Yeah. So, you know, I personally buy belly to belly, as you put it, and over the phone in other markets. So it's the exact same process. You know, after this call, we would go, if we were belly to belly, we take the seller through a sales process where we dive a lot deeper into motivation. We need a lot of it stirred up for them to take action and sign a deal. Mm-hmm. And then we'd also systematically go through everything that could possibly stand in the way of that from happening, right? What we call deal killers. And we systematically remove those from the equation before we make our offer. I would do the exact same thing over the phone. And we handle it the exact same way. It might happen, you know, the next step might sound like this if you're doing it all over the phone. Hey, listen, I want to dive deeper into this with you. I've got some more questions to ask. I want to really make sure I've got a solid understanding for what you're trying to get done and really remove any barriers that might be in the way. But that's probably going to be another 20 minutes on the phone. Should we jump into that now or schedule more time later today? So that would probably replace the on-site visit setup. Right. It's always the same process. It's just you just word it a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, we got to know why they would do business with us, and we got to deal with everything that might get in the way, whether that's belly to belly or over the phone.
I love it, man. I love it. And by the way, guys, obviously, this is, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the call, this is going to be a two-part series here with John Martinez, where obviously the first call here that you just listened to is all about, you know, how to speak to sellers on the phone, how to identify motivation and build rapport and all that, right? But the part two, which I want to encourage you to listen to, is also going, it's going to be the, John just alluded to, the on-site appointment, right? So let's say you go set up an appointment and you meet with a seller. We're going to talk about how to actually go through that appointment with the seller and ultimately walk away with a signed contract. And so before, we get into that, you know, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the training that John, is making available to you guys. This is not something that's always open. And, you know, I was hesitant at first because the purpose of this podcast is to deliver as much value and content as possible. If you guys have been listening for a while, I don't think I've ever had anything for sale. While there's times where certain resources and tools that I use, I recommend, I've told you guys where you can get that. I've never had anything for sale because that's just not my goal. It's not my intention is, you know, to really profit off of this podcast. I really just enjoy doing this to give back. It gives me an opportunity to connect with a lot of sharp people like John. And just deliver value, right? But I think it would be a shame to not. This is training that I'm personally going through. My team is going through, so I can vouch for it 1,000%. I think it would be a shame not to, just kind of mention what John has available here. And so this is not meant to be a sales pitch of any kind. If you think this is something that you can benefit from, feel free to check it out. John has given us, you know, the listeners here, an 80% discount on what he normally charges for this kind of training. And if not, then that's perfectly fine as well. You know, you're going to get access to the script. We're going to do another recording with John here on the on-site appointment. And you have just a ton of meat and content that if you just implement one or two of these things, I'm pretty confident you're going to see some positive results. But for those of you that really want to dive into this so that you can take this to the next level and ultimately get more deals, John has it. And John, I'll kind of let you talk a little bit about, you know, the REI Sales Academy. And I mean, obviously, we're going through it, so I know all about it. But if you want to just maybe take a minute or two to just kind of talk about it, and then I can let people know, where they can go to check out more about it.
Yeah, that absolutely works. So REI Sales Academy is a 12-week academy where we really go through everything you've heard today and more. We dissect how to communicate with sellers, with people in general, how to make sure every conversation is open and honest. And we dive deep into sales, both on-site, face-to-face, and over the phone. So we've got 12 courses weekly where we pick apart the sales process, give everyone a system to sell by, whether it's turnkeys, rentals, or just dealing with motivated or unmotivated sellers. And then we've got a phone portion we do too, that we kind of do what we did today. We start with scripting and things like that. And then we just listen to calls from different investors from around the country. And we kind of coach through those calls. So it's, you know, we call it sales, but it's really communication, right? how do we communicate in a way with the people we do business with where it's super comfortable for us and we feel totally in control and can guide those conversations, but it's also super comfortable and pressure-free for those people we do business with. It's just a win-win situation is what we're trying to provide and help them make the decision whether or not they need to make a change in their lives and with what they're doing. So we do our sales academy 4 times a year and that's it. It's kind of a limited deal as far as I've only got so much bandwidth. So we do them, they're 12 weeks that runs concurrent with the quarter. And we cap off each class usually around 30 people. So that's so we can have a lot of interaction in the class. There's a lot of give and take back and forth. We do role plays and stuff like that. So because I'm only one person and because we need to have that dynamic in the class, we do it once or 4 times a year, once quarterly. We limit to about 30 people and we just go for it.
Awesome. I love it. And again, this is, I think we're heading, John, we're heading into the class that I'm in right now. I think we're heading into week 9 or week 10, and it's been a game changer. So guys, if you want to check out more about that, I have a special affiliate link set up for that. And this, you know, it's crazy how cheap this training, essentially, it's not only training, it's coaching, because like John says, you know, you have access to him and you do role playing. And so it's just so inexpensive for the value that you get that it's just a no-brainer. If you guys go to flipempire.com/John, okay, flipempire.com/John, and you could put either John, J-O-H-N, or I also set it up for J-O-N. Either or, it's going to take you to the page. Depending on when you're, you know, because you might be listening to this in the future, and I think the next class, John, correct me if I'm wrong, is coming up in April, right? 2017?
Yeah. So the next one we'll be hosting is April. Absolutely.
Got it.
Anyone who signed up through you, we'll just give immediate access to our on-demand stuff, which is the exact same stuff. And it's the last course, the last class. All of those live webinars are recorded. So for people that want access to the resources and all the training, there's tons in the portal. Immediate access, but then basically I'm thrown in a free seat to the live training for the next class.
Got it. So yeah, guys, that particular link is going to take you directly to the checkout page. And John has just been, you know, extremely generous, and he's offering 80% for anybody that wants to take action now. So just go to flipempire.com/John. And then if John, if they want to go directly to, I guess, the sales page, for lack of a better word, to just read up more about it, I know there's a coupon code to get that 80% off. And I think it's flipempire80, the number 80.
Yeah, that's right. So if you just go to the normal sales page through my website or through anywhere else, then what we typically charge is $4,500 for the training. So feel free, if people can pay that, we'll take it. But if they enter in Flip Empire 80, they'll get the 80% off.
Okay, fantastic. So what, 80, that's $900, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, super cheap. So, and John, what is your website if they want to just go directly to or you know what we'll do, guys? We'll link it up in the show notes page. If you guys want to go directly to the site, John, I don't know if you have that readily available or if it's just a super long link. But either way, we can include that in the show notes page. And then just make sure that if you do go directly to the sales page, that the coupon code at checkout, you enter in FLIPEMPIRE80, and that'll give you the 80% off.
Yeah, and I don't have it memorized. I'll shoot that over to you, Alex, and you can just put a link in your stuff.
Yep, fantastic. And by the way, guys, the script that we promised you at the beginning of the call, that's also going to be in the show notes page. Go ahead, and there should be a clickable link there that you can just go and download. This is the same exact script that John used when we did the role playing and what my team and I are using inside of Podio. So you can go there to get the script as well. So John, man, really appreciate the time. I know that we're also going to do the part two of this, which is, again, now going to be more centered around the on-site appointment. You know, now, you know, we've gone through how to process a lead, how to speak to a seller, and now it's, let's say we're belly to belly, Like, what does that appointment look like? And that's really what we're going to dive into here in part two. So, guys, really appreciate your time. If, you know, I'd love to hear your comments. If you have any questions, comment on the show notes page. I'd love to interact with you. And if you have any questions for John, I can shoot them over to him as well. And again, I want to encourage you, if you think this is something you can benefit from and you've gotten value from it, definitely I want to encourage you to check out John's sales training, because again, I wouldn't recommend anything that I haven't personally been through and that I haven't seen, you know, positive results from and I haven't received value from. So I stand behind it 100%. And if you think it's right for you, definitely pull the trigger on that. And if not, that's obviously perfectly fine as well. So, John, man, I appreciate the time. And guys, I look forward to next week's masterclass with part two with John Martinez. I'll talk to you guys soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.